I'm going to be wrapping up this mini-series about the vital role of the church's ministries in making and maturing disciples, as Jesus instructs in Matthew 28:19-20. You know, again, where he said to his disciples, to his apostles, they were to go and make disciples of every nation, baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and again, teaching them to observe all the things that he had commanded them to do. And he promised that he would be with them in that process. Since our passion for Jesus frames our perspective as his mission-minded followers, we are convinced here that sharing the love of Christ best conveys our calling to spread the good news in our community. It is by divine design that the gospel flows into us, through us, and out from us. The Apostle Peter put it like this in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. He says, you are a chosen people. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to you, church. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Did he catch that? We are the special people of God, and he has selected us to declare his praises. Where? Well, in church on Sunday morning, of course. But we're to carry the light of Christ in this broken world from which we've been rescued. Yet his goal, I want you to hear this, isn't to force us to do that, but rather move each of us to choose to do that. And the more we realize the peace and the joy that accomplishes and accompanies our salvation, the more we want others to experience it too, don't we? I want you to take a close look with me today at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, we looked at Romans 12 and Ephesians 4, you know, in the last couple of weeks, and you're going to find a similar theme here. It's one of the Apostle Paul's favorite, again, analogies of the church. He says, just as a body through one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Verse 18, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, he says. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, they're treated with special modesty, he says. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part it is honored, every part rejoices with it. Lengthy passage with a very basic lesson. As he's talking about how God has made the physical body, there's a spiritual body he's concerned about. Collectively, we are the body of Christ. And individually, each member of his body has a special function ordained by him. Now, some of the members of Christ's body, like with the physical body, are more visible and may seem to have greater significance. Yet, guided by the Holy Spirit, Paul says this is not the case. Every member is important in the physical body and in the spiritual body. In fact, those parts that aren't in the limelight, he says, may be a whole lot more essential than we realize. Think of it like this. I can't see my heart. I can't see my liver. I can't see my kidneys. I can't see my brain. Yet if any of those malfunction, I'm in big trouble. How many of you know that? And the same with yourself, right? If any of those malfunction, though I'd be handicapped, I could live after losing an arm or a leg or an eye. But if a vital organ fails, I won't survive long. Soldiers and law enforcement officers understand this, and they wear armor when they're going into to situations where they might be injured. Athletes wear apparatus to protect vulnerable areas, don't they? Not meaning to be rude, following Paul's logic, the parts of the body Mom told me to call privates are also important. Some know what it means to lose control of those parts, of those less presentable functions we might think about. Losing vital organs like this disrupts one's life and comfort more than damage of a more prestigious member might. Reading on in verse 27, Paul now says, now you are the body of Christ. Now he's already said that once, but he's saying it again. And each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracle workers and gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, he asks, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? And that's rhetorical. The answer is no. Not all do those things. But he says in verse 31, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. We have seen that those who receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord are to have a different mindset than the world. We saw that in Romans 12. Paul is stressing here that we have to have this mindset to resist pride when it comes to serving in the church. You ever thought about that? He's saying that. Corinth excelled with gifts, spiritual gifts, in the church. Many gifted men and women in that body of believers who were evidently receiving a lot of attention because of their gifts. And many in the congregation were evidently craving that attention, that popularity for themselves. That's why they were seeking gifts that would, well, if you will, turn the spotlight on themselves. In a sense, the tools that Jesus gave them for work in the kingdom were being perceived more like toys for their pleasure and enjoyment. Instead of being clothed with Christ, many were adorning themselves with the gifts that he gave them for their own glory. They saw the gifts as a way to showcase themselves. When they were given to showcase who? Christ. And the gifts had become such a distraction that Paul has to address the issue in the next chapter. Chapter 13, verse 1, after saying earlier, desire the more excellent or the better gifts, the greater gifts. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. What's he getting at? See, it's not uncommon for praise leaders, pastors, and teachers to receive special recognition. Those of us who serve in those capacities must be on guard. All we do must be motivated by love for Jesus and for others. If our position goes to our heads and we dishonor our head, Jesus, not everyone will be in the limelight in the church. And hear me, no one should seek to be. All attention needs to be directed to King Jesus. Our worship and teaching ministries here, we use our gifts and desire to inspire praise of God and service to Jesus and support for one another. We're not looking for personal praise, but strive to direct all praise to the Lord. In fact, that's also the goal of our elders here, our deacons, and our ministry leaders, every one of them. We're not privileged to serve in order to exalt ourselves, but to encourage hearts of love and service in others. That's why we're seeking volunteers to help in the church's ministries, to fulfill our mission to share the love of Christ. For the Lord's equipped each of us to do our part. That's what Paul's saying. So if you've been waiting for the other shoe to drop this morning, you know, when the pastor starts to get up all in your business, far be it from me to disappoint. When it comes to serving in the kingdom, some churchgoers have the attitude of Sweet Brown.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that.
You know what I'm saying? There are people saying, I don't have time for that. I don't have time to serve in the church. I'm so busy. I don't have time. Matter of fact, I don't see how anybody's got time for what you're asking for. Too busy with life to serve the one who gave us life? If you ask me, we need to make some time for that, don't we? There's a lot of stuff we get caught up in. It consumes our free time. I know that's true. How about you? As a matter of fact, when I don't have much free time, I don't have any me time. And we all crave some me time, don't we? Some free time. That's okay, but we need to take a step back and ask God, what about his time? What do we do with the time that he's given us? Does our free time get all full of stuff for self and others but not him? Is all about me time and not enough about time for him? What is the time he's given us to be used for? Is it for our benefit alone, or is it for the good of his kingdom? I wish I had a nickel for every time that I heard someone say that they didn't attend church on Sunday because it was their only day off. Anybody ever hear that? That's my only day off. If I had a nickel, like I say, for every time I heard that, I'd be a wealthy man for sure. Yet for generations, God's people have been taught that every day belongs to the Lord, and that especially honoring him at least one day of the week is to be a priority. God's people have always been instructed to set apart time for him. Though I don't find scriptural support to call Sunday the Christian Sabbath, nor to bind believers to Sabbath laws, there is a divine principle that should prevail in the heart of every child of God. As David said in Psalm 118, verse 24, this is a day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Now, of course, he was talking about Saturday, the Sabbath back then. That must have been the day. Or we'd say Sunday. No, the idea is this day, whatever that day is, whether it be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, it's a day the Lord has made. He's given us, he's blessed us to be able to live through this day. But what are we to do with it? Well, he says, be glad and rejoice in it. Well, that's an attitude we might have. Let's be merry and just enjoy ourselves and have a good old time doing whatever it is we want to do. But that's not the point David's making. Let's recognize who gave us a day. Let's be thankful for it. And let's use the time we have today wisely. Paul tells us in Colossians 3, 23 and 24, in all the work you're doing, do the best you can. Work as if you're doing it for the Lord, not for people. Remember that you'll receive your reward from him, just as he promised. You are serving Christ the Lord. So whatever day we recognize, it's a day that the Lord's blessed us with, and whatever we're doing during that day, who are we to be serving? Who are we to be serving? So if our attitude has been, I ain't got no time for that, when it comes to serving God, we need to repent of that. If we're too busy for him, we're likely too busy pursuing our own wishes. It's high time to reevaluate how we're spending our time. Now, there are some others who offer the Dylan Baez answer when asked.
Take me, baby. No, no, no. Take me, baby. It ain't me you're looking for, baby. It ain't me, baby. No, no, no. It ain't me, baby. It ain't me you're looking for, baby.
You must be thinking of somebody else, you know, to fill that position or to do that job or responsibility. It ain't me. It ain't me, babe. You're looking for somebody else. It's not me. And that song, way back again, has got to do with commitment. He said, I'm not willing to commit. If we're not willing to commit or don't feel that we can, well, we need to pray about that. To be blunt, it's not the proper response to say to Jesus, it ain't me, babe. It's not me you're looking for. Instead, we should say, I'll do what I can. I'll do what I can. And depending on the season of our lives, health problems or family obligations may hinder us. Matter of fact, the song we sang, I think it was the first song we sang today, it's talked about being feeble and frail. Anybody ever feel that way, feeble and frail? Like maybe, you know, you're not up to, you know, doing something that's pretty strenuous or difficult or investing too much time and energy. You just don't have it. There may be some other responsibilities, obligations that are in this season of your life are really calling you to give that attention there. But if we have a heart to serve, there are ways to serve for all of us, every one of us, to serve. There really are many things just about anyone could do. Maybe if they knew they needed to be done, that don't take a lot of time, don't take a lot of energy, but they do take some time, and they do take a little bit of energy. They take some attention. I mean, some things probably you take for granted. Opening up the building on a Sunday morning, turning on the lights, putting out the communion, preparing the communion, running the slides or sound, helping out in nursery care, helping to plan and set up and clean up for events that we have, helping with lawn care, making calls or sending cards from home. So many things. And there's so many, many, many more things. And though I'm going to mention it last, I want to really highlight it. It should be first, always, pray. Pray. There's not a one of us in Christ's body who can't be praying. If we're too busy to pray, we're too busy. We're too busy. Many of you know now, okay, and I'll take this opportunity to highlight this, okay? There's a prayer campaign here at Calvary Christian right now, just starting it. It's called Pray 8. said, whether in the morning or at night, join in a time of prayer for our search of a new pastor at Calvary. There are magnets out there for you to pick up. You know, can stick it in your forehead, and that won't work. But you can stick it on your refrigerator, stick it on somewhere where it's prominent, you see it. But pray, either 8 in the morning, 8 in the evening, pray. Pray for the church, pray for the transition that's in the future, pray. Pray that God will provide and send the right person to take the baton when I retire. Pray for that. Be praying for that every single day. Do that. Well, 8 o'clock doesn't work for me. It ain't me, babe. I ain't got no time for that. Okay, pray at 7. Then pray at 6 or 5 or 4 or 3. Whatever works, pray every day. Do it. Set your phone, the alarm, and you don't know how to do that, I'll do it for you. Set the alarm for every day. It'll go off, repeat, and when that alarm goes off, pray. Pray for the church. Pray for the work of the church. Pray, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to be involved in this? How can I serve? What can I do? Pray, we can all do that. So many times we put that as like the last thing, if I can't do anything else, wrong attitude. The attitude should be, I can do that, I need to do that, I need to always be doing that, be praying. And this is just one prayer campaign right now. I pray that you'll be praying more than just one time a day. For the church, for the work of the church, for your part in that work. You'll be praying for that. It's so vitally, vitally important. There are still plenty of empty spaces on the volunteer sheets by the displays in the foyer. And should you say, well, Pastor Steve, your name's not on them. Well, that's partially because I serve in some capacity in all of them and take the lead in at least 3 of them. And it's also because, well, the time is coming when someone else is going to have to do what I'm doing. And we're going to be praying about that. There's a core group of people here, very similarly, who spread themselves very, very thin, helping out in several areas, multiple ministries. And I appreciate them so much, the heart that they have to do that. Matter of fact, I'm going to do something here. If you are a ministry leader here at Calvary Christian, would you please stand? If you're a ministry leader, okay, and I know there are more than those who are standing right now. It might not be represented. They may be busy elsewhere doing things. But we have some ministry leaders, and I'm thankful for them. Aren't you thankful for them? That they take the time, that they make the effort again to spearhead some ministry here at the Church of Calvary for sharing the love of Christ. So thank you. You may be seated. Okay? Some of them are not only leading a ministry, they're leading more than one, and some of them are serving in other ministries they're not leading in. And I praise God for them. I praise God for all of you. If you're serving in a ministry right now, I mean, not just, well, I show up once in a while. If you are committed and serving in ministry right now, take a stand. Stand up. And that'll be the leaders again, too. Stand up. Thank you. 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 Thank you so much for what you're doing. And again, I know many of you serving in more than one ministry. You may be seated. They're waiting. They're saying, just to make me stand up again for the next thing, right? And you know what? They're the kind of people that if I mention something else, they probably could stand again. And that's not, again, see, that they're doing that for attention. They didn't know I was going to ask them to stand today. If they were doing it for attention, they'd be doing it for the wrong reason, wouldn't they? According to what Paul says, wrong reason. As again, you know that the time is coming in June, Lord willing, next summer, Nine and I plan to move back to Ohio. We're not retiring from ministry. I want you to hear that. We're retiring from full-time ministry here, but we'll be doing ministry wherever we are because that's who we are. And if that's who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what day it is, what time it is, you'll be looking for ways to serve and minister to people. And that's the way we should be. It's so vital, so vital. We're going to need people, maybe who have not committed yet, to do so, to stand up and sign up. Not because I'm telling you to, but because you pray about it and the Lord moves you to. The scripture is very clear that we all need to be working together in this effort. I am so blessed to have been part of this church for 20 years. And here, October is Pastor Appreciation Month. But you know what? I want to make every day just Church Appreciation Month, where we be honoring and appreciating each other who serve, that we do that. Again, not that you do it for the recognition. I mean, if nobody said thank you during Pastor Appreciation Month, I'd quit. No, that's not why you do it. That's not why you serve. But I appreciate every servant in this church. And I know some of you, again, may not serve formally, not committed formally to something, but I'd encourage you to do that. I encourage you to do it. Because you know what? Then those who are heading up these ministries know that they can count on you, call on you. When, again, there's a project comes up, there's a ministry that comes up, an opportunity comes up, and they'll know that they can call on you to help out with that. We're in it together, church. We're in it together. Not just here, but globally we are. And I thank you so much for your support of all the ministries that, and missions that we also support as well. Love you dearly. Appreciate you. Just want to encourage you. And again, Christ compels me to do that. Okay? Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for this time together. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your good word. I thank you, Father, for the reminder that we are to do all things in love. That again, love for you, love for others, that should motivate us in everything. I want to thank you for this church, this body of believers. I want to thank you, Father, for the way that they have come alongside one another. And so often when a need is presented to them, wow, do they come together. But Father, help us to realize that there's just not a need once in a while. There's a continuing need every week, every day, for us to work together for the common good of sharing the love of Christ in our community and to do what we can to also send that good news out about his love into the world. Father, I pray for the leaders here, the ministry leaders, every one of them. I pray for those elders and deacons that we have, Father. I lift them up to you. But I pray for every servant in the church who's worked behind the scenes so many of the times doing things that they don't get a recognition at all. But Father, you recognize. And you tell us that when we do those things, not for our glory, but for yours, we will always, always, always reap a reward now and forever. I thank you for that. Father, for those people out there, and I know there's a lot of folks that are believers, they've accepted your Son as their Savior, but they're disconnected from a body of believers. And I pray, Father, that they might be awakened to realize how important it is to be connected and working together with those who have like precious faith and will encourage them on their journey and can receive encouragement from them as well as we spur one another on, as your word says, to love and good works, all for the glory of Jesus. Father, bless this church. Continue to be with her in a mighty way, Father. May your will be done. In your Son's precious name, and those who agree say, amen.